Good morning, church. Good morning, church. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. I thank God for the privilege to bring the Word of God to us. And I believe that channels only I'll be, and that the Holy Spirit will speak through me and meet every one of us at the point of our needs in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we'll be looking into the Word of God. We'll be looking into the book of Matthew chapter 14 from verse 22 to 33. I'll be speaking this morning on the topic, Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Matthew chapter 14 from verse 22 to 23. Immediately, Jesus made his disciple to get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when the evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." And Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. We are in a dispensation where there is every possibility for us to trust in our knowledge, to believe that everything can work for us. We don't need to labor much, you know, when you just go online, search for anything, you find answers to it. The dependency on God, the total dependency on the person of God, on the word of God, is beginning to fade away because of knowledge, because knowledge is expanding. And we tend to know more or learn more from technology, from our career, from our studies, than we want to know from God. Even sometimes when the word of God to us is clear, our human understanding finds a way to interfere in the instruction and commands of God. I wrote here, if we rely solely on ourselves without the guidance from an higher power to achieve our goals, we will not run far before running into trouble. You wouldn't go too far in life without running into chaos if you don't hand over the totality of your life on the one that owns you. Like I believed, and I always say, until you continually consult the manufacturer's manual of your life, your life can never make a significant meaning. It's not in the abundance of what you gather. It's in the reality of what the owner of your life is able to show to you. It's in the instruction
and the programming of your life that you can function.
Amen. Amen. The book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. We are coming back to our text. It says, trust in the Lord. How? How?
With all your might. Trust in the Lord with all your might. Lean not on what? On your own understanding. Sorry, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding.
You know, when I pictured that, it's like trust in the Lord with everything you have.
Don't rest on your knowledge. It's too risky to journey life with your knowledge or intuition alone. Because you are made by someone to fulfill a particular purpose. In all your ways. And you know, when I see words like all, I try to take a pause. What's the Bible trying to say? In all my ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge the fact that he's always by you, with you, and interested in everything you are going to do. Because he's the one that made you. He formed us and he knows us. But I want us to get some understanding from the life of our dear brother Peter about trusting in God, how to trust in him, how to hold on to that word that the Lord speaks to us. I will start from verse 23. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when the evening came, he was there alone. 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the wave, for the wind was contrary. When you sail your life without Jesus, without the author of your life, you are in for a big trouble. Though Jesus sent them away by themselves, but the master wasn't with them in the ship. So the enemy struck. The wind became contrary. Things began to change. This is COVID-19 period. A lot might happen, you know. There are a lot of business ideas coming. There are a lot of advices. Do this, do that. Go this way. And jokingly, I tell myself, even if you want to get a Canadian or UK PR or whatever it is, you can't get it now. Even if you get it, you can't go. The need to have Jesus in your boat to give us instruction per time. To tell us, this is the way you should go. Not being tossed about by wave of doctrine or ideas. You know, there are few people, because we are young, they will tell us, now it is tailoring. You know, you just need to learn tailor. And in 2 weeks, if you know it very well, you will get 10 to 15 customers per week. And you know, you start sewing for everybody. Some people say, no, it's not tailoring. It is photography. You know how much they collect for wedding now. If you can learn that photography business very well, you know, you get 3 or 4 weddings. And like that, you become rich. But the question I'm asking us, and the Holy Spirit is challenging us with this morning, is that what is the Lord telling you as an individual to do? You can't keep walking about the ocean of life with your natural ideas. You can't keep taking steps every day without the leading and the direction of God. You can't keep living per day without hearing from the one who made you. And the wind was contrary to them. Jesus was not in the boat with them. So the devil could attack. If you get stuck outside Jesus, even if you are a believer for a few minutes, the devil can strike. It will break the hedge. The serpent can strike. Just a few minutes outside of him, we are empty. I hope we know that as believer, without Jesus, we are vulnerable. Without you,
I am nothing. I am nothing without you. Only you can make something out of nothing. I am nothing without you.
Only him can make something beautiful out of the life of a man that solely rely on him part time. It's beyond just being religious or thinking this is what everybody is doing. It takes a life of total commitment and devotion to God to receive each minute from him for your life. And it takes that same devotion to trust him. Because if he has not done something, if you have not trusted him enough on little situation, you find it difficult to rely on him on major issues of your life.
In the fourth hour, verse 25, in the first watch of the night, around 4 a.m., Jesus went to them. Listen to this, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him, you know, I like to read the Bible pictorially. When the disciples saw him, it means they saw him. Abby, do we agree with that? They saw him. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Maybe because of this COVID-19 period, a trauma, business is not moving forward. Maybe they feel they will sack few people in your workplace. Maybe you feel you should graduate by so-so age, and the way you are seeing this is not going to happen. Don't allow fear. When Jesus is with you, you are one and you are a majority on your own. It's not a ghost. He's not a ghost. He's alive. When he showed himself to them, it was fear that blurred their vision of the Savior. That was the person that was meant to save them from that turbulent time. Don't run helter-skelter to things that cannot rescue you in this period. I can boldly tell us that the only one that can save us from any form of crisis, health, financial, emotional, is Jesus. Our vision must be clear. We must see him and see through him to know and have that assurance that he's alive. Situation can paint things that might want to make us think is not there. But I'm encouraging someone this morning, he's there. Jesus said, "I'm with you always, and I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world." He's there. When you walk through waters, through fires, he's there. He's there. It takes the consciousness of the Holy Spirit to know that he's there. I don't know what you are going through this morning, but I want to tell someone this morning, no matter that situation, Jesus is there. He's there with you. He's closer than you think. He's even closer than your friend. He's even closer than your parents. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and guilt to share. What a privilege we forfeit. Everything to God and pray. When you bring it to him, the assurance of him being around you, not fear. Fear disappears. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of peace, of love, of sound mind,
A child of God with constant relationship with Him, with total trust on Him, with total dependency. That is trust. Total dependency on Him fears nothing. You know, when the challenges of life comes, you face it with the Word of God, with what He told you, with His instruction. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And I love Brother Peter. We are studying Brother Peter this morning. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Peter felt, wow. He said he's the one. Maybe I could have also walked on water. Maybe I could have also done the impossible. But with myself, I cannot do it. And Peter said, "Savior, if you are the one, command me to come. I only need that word from you to stay on." Sometimes all you need for that situation, for you to hold on, you know, when you are trusting something, most times you need to hold on to something. You know, when we all came into the auditorium, nobody checked the chairs to sit. You just sat. You trusted that chair that you are not going to fall, right? We needed something, a level of trust, a level of confidence in Him. And that was what Peter was inquiring. He said, "Command me. I know by that word, I can do what you are doing. But I don't want to jump or leap by my understanding. Lean not on your own understanding." Because Brother John made it in bookselling business does not mean you will. Amen. I've learned to trust Him for every little details of my life. "Lord, concerning this situation, what do you want me to do?" And He's always faithful. 29. "So He said, 'Come.'" Amen. Amen. I want us to begin to take note of something. Peter didn't walk on water on his ability. He walked on water on the word, "Come." Which word are you living your life with? Which instruction of God do you base your day-to-day decision? If you have not been with Him and have a close devotion with Him, you cannot trust Him. It's not possible for you to tell me to trust someone that I've never met, and you just tell me, "Trust me." Trust me on this. How can I trust you on something when I don't even know you? When I've not been with you, I don't know what you can do. Amen. Amen. You know, there are some levels in relationship, sirs, that your spouse can tell you, "No, trust me." Say, "Yes, I trust you. On this one, I trust you." But there are some other situations when they will say, "Trust me." Say, "Mm-mm. On this one, mm-mm. Yes, I trust you, but on this one, I cannot." If you have not been with someone, if you don't have an assurance, a confidence on a particular situation, you cannot. Peter have seen Him open the eyes of the blind. Remember before this story, he has seen Him fed multitude. So, it's not strange when Jesus told him, "Peter, you said I should command you. Okay, no problem. Come." Peter walked on the word, "Come." Amen. So, when Peter was walking, the Bible says he jumped out of the boat. He was not thinking. Amen. When you receive divine instruction from God, your natural sense, how do I put it? Your natural sense might not be able to comprehend it. Even people around you will think you are stupid. Come and imagine what other disciples will be thinking. We'll get there. And he jumped. He didn't even think. He said, yes. Jesus said, I should come. So I don't need to wait. He just jumped. Boom. Don't doubt the word of God. The word of God is so powerful that through it, the world was created. Amen. Amen. I'm not hearing our voice. Amen. Amen. Do you know that? It's so powerful that through the world was created. John chapter 1, he said, through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. So God, in his majesty, Genesis chapter 1, let there be light. And what happened? There was nothing. There was light. There was light. Let the waters be separated from the land. It's not by measurement. It's by the word. And it was separated. This one stay here. The other one stay. Let there be night and day. And everything fell into place. So Peter knew that I can walk on this word. It's enough for me to trust. If he had not said it, I might not be able to take that step. But the moment he said it, I can move. Many of us are thinking about basing our marital life on thinking, our financial life on thinking. Say, I don't know the problem with six packs these days. I have six packs. Even you don't have one. And you want someone with six. Instead of relying on the word, and God speaks to you expressly. You say, yes, my daughter, go ahead. You say, Lord, I'm not seeing anything, no. This brother I'm looking at, there is no future. But by your word, eh? By your word. He was not thinking if he will sink. He jumped by his word. Not by Jesus having to lay hands on him. Not by deliberate fervent prayer. By the word, come. What are you trusting in this morning? But let's look at Lord Peter. But when he saw that wind, when he saw that the wind was boisterous. NIV said, when he saw the wind. You know, anytime I get here, I wonder, please, maybe when we get to heaven, we need to ask Bro Peter. Bro Peter, how did you see wind? He jumped on the word. He leaped by faith, but he saw the wind. And you know, a pictorial idea came to my mind. There are many winds in our life. Maybe I should start by number one, wind of Brother Thomas. You know, Brother Thomas is in the boat. And Brother Thomas will say, Bro Peter, I said, because the master jumped, you think you can also jump? You can't go far. And Brother Peter said, Brother Thomas. Begin to see the wind of doubt. Maybe another in the shoe say, you know, your inheritance, your family, your heritage, everything about you, you are fishermen. You are meant to be swimming, not to be walking. Abby, we didn't see it like that. Now that you are walking, it's an aberration to your generation. That you are walking on water. Your generation swim. You are a fisherman. What noise are you hearing? What noise are you hearing inside of you this morning? That is not allowing you to rest on that word of God. That is not allowing you to totally reflect on what it tells you. And take the bold steps to launch. What are those limiting noise? See, The thing about those noise is that it won't take you further to only sink you down. Peter shifted his gaze away from the command to the circumstances. You know, sometimes we use the word often. I use it sometimes too. But it's funny. Let's face the reality. The only reality we have as children of God is the Word of God. The Word of God should become our reality. Amen. Amen. Does that make sense to someone this morning? Does that make sense to someone this morning? The Word of God is your reality. I was seated with some people this past week, and they were discussing something interesting. And they said, wait, how come that when Christians fall sick, you just fell ill, maybe you've stressed yourself. Some people, the first thing that comes to their head, do you know it? It's Ogunaye. Meanwhile, it's high blood pressure that is killing you. Maybe you just need to rest. But you know, you can get an understanding of the word and you apply it to your life. Ephesians says, said, I'm seated with Christ in God. Abby? Where is Christ seated? Ephesians 1:21. He said, he's seated in heavenly places. That's where Christ is seated, Abby. Far above. What? Principalities and power. So imagine when we are talking about this issue of trust. When you are seated with Christ, in God, you sit with Christ. So you're having a meeting with God. That's where you are. That's your position. In reality, you know, sometimes when we see ourselves in reality, and that's why I said, see yourself in the reality of the Word, not of you. When you see yourself in the reality of who you are, and when someone suggests to you that he's a demon, you say, how can a demon get to where I'm seated? Except you left. Or you went to buy lunch and you didn't take God along. Oh, that Mary. But you are seated there, far above. So let's paint this image. Sir, if gospel offend me and I'm chasing her down and she ran and hold you, will I still beat her? I will just report and say, you see what that girl did, Abby? The same thing with God. We are seated with him. So when the devil comes, say, I'm with my father. I love that song. Fountain of my spirit, open up. I am with my father, open up. Listen, no boundary, no limit, open up. Let deep call unto deep. I'm with my father. You know that courage. Amen. Do you understand that courage? I'm with my father. The one who is able to meet all my needs. Not according to the world economy. According to his riches. According to his riches in glory. Rounding up. With my father. If you don't see him as your father, you cannot trust him. If you see him as the one that they told you that you should pray every morning before you go to work, as one God, that you can't go find the reality of who he is. Open up. I'm with my father. There is no boundary when I'm with him. I can trust him to go through life without fear. Hold my hands. Maybe that's your prayer this morning. Lord, hold my hands. By myself, I can't. You need to trust him You need to allow him to hold your hands. Even when you are walking through the fire, trust him that he's with you. He's holding your hands. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. I don't know how much you trust him this morning. Help me to trust you more. Help me to dwell in the reality of you. I don't know if you are praying to God this morning. Help me to trust you. Help me to walk in your reality. Holy Spirit. You are here, you are walking in guilt. You don't trust him that he has forgiven you your sin. Lay your trust at the feet of Jesus this morning. He has forgiven you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want you to commit your life unto him, your everything. Drop it at the feet of Jesus. Allow him to control your life. Allow him to lead you.